Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Today's opening tip. Did Zion Williamson doze off there slightly on the Pelicans bench?
I ain't mad at him, man.
Right?
Get this man in a uniform, please.
I mean, he is bored and I don't blame him.
That's tough, man. Like, he waiting and waiting and waiting.
Like, when is he going to get in a uniform?
Soon.
He's putting it between his legs.
Soon, this Tracy.
Week, this
soon.
Week is what we think.
Soon.
Maybe, perhaps.
Let's
possibly.
Go.
Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. Today I'm joined by not only our front office insider, Amin El-Hassan, but he is back, ladies and gentlemen. The Hall of Famer, Tracy McGrady.
Happy New Year, everybody.
I was going to say a quick second to welcome T-Mac. People have been asking me for the last 5 weeks, where is Tracy? You have been coaching your kids' teams, especially your eighth grader. And the thing I love is that not only is he the coach of the team, he is super into it. It is amazing the time you spend with those kids. But Kobe is the coach of his eighth grade daughter's team. And you guys are at these tournaments together.
Wow. Yes. So it's a four-part tournament to where we all at one location under one roof, and Kobe sits there and watch my guys, and I sit there and watch his girls. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Shout out to one-time legends that made hoops.
Oh, right? Go. I mean, how amazing is this?
Yeah.
My two dads, that what this has become. Two guys who are going head-to-head for the scoring title for years now doing this. I love it. Well, I'm thrilled to have you back here. We got so much to talk about. Coming up, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander became the youngest player ever with 20 rebounds in a triple-double. Is that something, nothing, or everything? We'll discuss that. First, though, you know all those famous sayings about improbability? You know, like, that will happen when hell freezes over. Or when pigs fly. Or when Dwight Howard is back in a Laker uniform. Okay, maybe that last one wasn't a famous expression, but it might as well have been. Think about just how unlikely this was. All the teams that Dwight has bounced around, none of which seemed to really like him on his way out the door. Remember when Washington's Wizards GM Tommy Shepard told Adrian Wojnarowski this summer that when he pawned Dwight off on Memphis, it was, quote, the quickest trade I have ever done in my life?
Man, that's harsh.
Right? We actually had Dwight on The Jump several times over those tough years, and each time he would express hope about his next stop. And each time, I genuinely had some hope that at some point he could turn things around. But that revival coming with the Lakers? Nah, none of us here predicted that. You would need amnesia to forget just how bad things went for them the last time. The clashes with Kobe. The Lakers trying to keep Howard anyway as a free agent with those billboards that said, stay? Remember those? And then how he then bolted to Houston instead, even with the Rockets offering him $30 million less. Honestly, it felt like a safer bet that Dwight would become NBA commissioner than he would return to L.A. And yet,
look at him.
Everything changed after Boogie Cousins tore his ACL in mid-August, leading GM Rob Pelinka to give Howard a second look. You know the story from there. Howard hasn't just been good for the Lakers. He has often been critical, anchoring the second unit with defense, rebounding, hustle. And some nights, he's even more than that, like last night against Cleveland. It was a bit of a strange atmosphere at Staples. A 12-28 team like the Cavaliers don't usually draw that much of a buzz, but there was some extra juice last night with LeBron facing his old team. He apparently still remembers his entire handshake with Kevin Love.
Come on, man.
Also, with Kardashian ex Tristan Thompson in town, we got, hey, Kim and Kanye courtside, clearly squeezing in the game before their trip to Antarctica. So good for them.
Are they really going there? God.
They were dressed for it. Yet for all the attention elsewhere, a big part of the show turned out to be Dwight Howard. With Anthony Davis still out, the Lakers needed production from Dwight, and boy, he delivered, finishing with a season-high 21 points, 15 rebounds. Look at him through all these, even knocking in this three-pointer.
Okay, dude.
Look at that. Everybody celebrating that one. So smooth. Afterward, Dwight talked about how much fun he's having with this team. And it's interesting. He has never done an I told you so sort of press conference. But then again, he doesn't have to. His play is doing the talking, as is Markel Fultz's in Orlando, Carmelo Anthony's in Portland. All of them sending this message loud and clear that turnarounds are possible, no matter how unlikely they seem. And in a time where the internet encourages fans to rip on everything, always, especially guys who have stumbled, it means something to see Dwight get back up, keep his balance this time, and keep pushing forward. I would just remind him to duck as he goes so he doesn't get hit with a flying pig on his way out. T-Mac, what do you think has changed for Dwight this time around?
Well, I want to go back. Dwight playing in Orlando for 8 seasons, had 8 terrific seasons there, and towards the end, things started to get a little rocky for him. Had some back issues, a lot of talk, you know, between himself, the GM, head coach, Stan Van Gundy. It was just nasty. Trade him to the Lakers. Playing with a contending team, playing with a Hall of Fame player like Kobe Bryant, a lot of stuff is going to come with that, right? Dwight wasn't healthy the whole time he was playing with the Lakers.
Yep.
And I think, you know, it was unfair to him of the criticism that he was receiving from a lot of people because of his back issues. Anybody knows anything about dealing with your back and having surgery.
Yep.
It's tough as hell to play through that. So that really wasn't his fault. But moving forward, going to, you know, Houston and playing for 5 different teams in 5 seasons, I mean, things just wasn't looking right for him, right? I mean, it was just, you know, it was a lot of baggage that came with that. And the perception was that, you know, he was a bad teammate and he didn't take the game serious. So I think going through all that stuff, you know, 5 teams in 5 years, he matured a lot.
So you think that's what's changed is he had to go through all that?
He had to go through all that. And I think, you know, looking back on that and having an opportunity to play for the Lakers again and play with LeBron James, you have to at some point become professional and take this thing serious and know this is your last shot.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tracy, and I think health was a big issue, not just with the Lakers, but also the last couple of stops he's been at, Washington the latest. Just wasn't healthy, and it's hard to be yourself when you just, like you said, these are serious injuries. This isn't just like a rolled ankle or something. But I think another part of it is, we used to always talk about this in the front office, the most important question a team can answer, but also each individual player can answer, is who am I?
Right.
And if you can answer that truthfully and accurately, then you'll find a role in this league. And these are the guys that play 17, 18 years and seem to always transition well. And for the guys who struggle with that answer, because that answer changes in your career.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Right? And there's points where Tracy's answer to who am I is one of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
And then later in his career, a guy who's pretty smart and been around and know things. Mm-hmm. He can't continue to approach things as I'm one of the elite. I've now had to transition, kind of like Vince Carter has.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So what Dwight really struggled with, I feel like, in the latter parts is a refusal to accept the answer to who am I. Well, now here he is with the Lakers, and he's answering that question very well.
That's a great point.
I'm here to rebound. I'm here to defend. Whatever y'all got for me, I got.
That's a great point, because if you think about when he was in Houston and some of these other stops, mm-hmm. it's him individually, I want the ball.
Yep.
Right? I want the ball. Throw me the ball in more. But that's not who you are. That's not what we need you to do. And I think it caused some friction in the organization between players as well. Coming here, now I'm going to do my job. Whatever is asked of me, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to rebound. I'm going to defend. That's all we need you to do to be a championship caliber team.
I mean, if you're talking about a guy who 3-time defensive player of the year, first team All-NBA for, 4-5 years in a row, it is a change to think of yourself differently, but it's easier to think of yourself differently, right, Tracy, if you're in a locker room with LeBron James
Absolutely.
And Anthony Davis, right? It's easier to say about yourself, oh, I have transitioned into being this kind of role player, if the guys I am a role player to are LeBron and AD versus some of the other guys in some of his more recent stops, right?
I think that's true. That's absolutely true. It's easy to defer those guys, but it's not like James Harden was a guy.
I'm not as much talking about the Houston years as the years since.
Sure, but I think the other part of it also is when you're an elite player, your shelf life is so much longer, not because you're going to continue being elite, but because, you know, Stan Van Gundy talks about it all the time. Dwight Howard is a brilliant basketball player.
Yeah.
Putting that IQ to use can help teams if you're willing to accept that role.
Oh, it's fun to see Dwight doing so well. He's got a whole half season left. You got more coming, so it's going to be fun. All right, let's move on to some big news in the WNBA. Commissioner Kathy Engelbert and Union President Nneka Ogumike announcing a new collective bargaining agreement on Good Morning America. Base pay for players will nearly double. Take a listen to this. We're so thrilled to announce the WNBA and the Players Association, led by NECA. We've announced a long-term collective bargaining agreement that we've agreed to 8 years. We're so proud of the players and their ability to unify around the important issues to them. And while they bargained hard, we came together, we collaborated, and we have what we think is a groundbreaking agreement that's going to support these players for the long term and the next generation of players. It's going to include a tripling of the top players' pay, cash compensation,
tripling.
As much as we fight for what we feel that we deserve, we know that we deserve. We have women's soccer, we have women's hockey that are looking up to what we are looking to do. And so we're really hoping that it can set the tone and really create that legacy for women in sports moving forward.
So obviously a lot of excitement there. What's your reaction to me?
Well, I think the important thing to realize is it's a massive step forward in terms of a lot of, forget about the money.
Right.
Right. A lot of the quality of life stuff, the idea that now maternity leave is guaranteed as opposed to what it used to be was a partial guarantee.
Yep.
Right. The fact that players get their own rooms on the road, which is the norm in the NBA and most other pro leagues, but they had to share before. They're trying. There is still a lot of work to be done. You heard about the top players having their salaries tripled. That's great. But I think the job of any union is to look out for the majority.
Raise the floor also.
Sure, but
At that rate.
The reality is, if you're a rank and file WNBA player, you still have to have another job outside of the WNBA
season. And that's what I want to tackle because although this is a big step, and I want to talk financially, this is a big step financially for these women, there's still a lot more that has to be done. Yep. Because one thing that as a basketball player or as an athlete that you love to put in the work in the off season, go into your season and whatever happens in that season, you know, you live with. But then you want to take some time off to enjoy that off season.
And rest your body.
These women don't get the opportunity to do that because they right back playing and they have to go cross seas because they're not making enough money in
We've
the WNBA.
Seen major injuries,
so, absolutely. So, I mean, it's a big step forward, but, you know, we still have some more to go.
You know, on Twitter, I saw some people say, well, you know, there's so many other things you can do. You look at Chinee. Chinee does the jump and ESPN stuff, and that's great, but you got to understand, Chinee's a number one overall pick.
Right.
Chinee's an all-star.
Right.
Chinee is an elite. It would be like judging every NBA player by what LeBron is capable of doing, and that's not fair.
Yeah.
And so, like Tracy said, it's a big step, but we still got work to go. But that's why it's collective bargaining. You move towards it, and the next time they come to the table, they'll be able to ask for a little bit more and maybe improve it a little bit more.
I thought one of the smartest things I heard in this whole process of back and forth was Candace Parker saying, like, hey, look, we also have to remember that the NBA in its first 20, 30 years as a league, it's not like they had all the benefits that they had now. We have to collectively grow the league and sort of judge us against ourselves. So judging against themselves of their previous deal. This is a smashing success.
Yes.
And then part of the reason Kathy was hired was the idea was to really go after increasing the revenue of the league overall, because the goals that they've set forth for the next few years are about going after more marketing, going after more money coming in. Mm-hmm. So the money is there to pay these women that I think the league legitimately would like to pay them. But obviously it is a group effort of getting more money coming in so that more money can come out. Speaking of women's hoops, we had a huge matchup for you this Thursday. Stanford, currently ranked third, faces number 6, Oregon, and the dazzling, oh yes, Miss Sabrina is back. The top WNBA prospect this year. If you are not watching her play, you are making a mistake. Tip is at 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. And coming up on this show, based off Marcus Smart's dime last night, we will take a look at the best cross-court bounce passes ever. These are good. First, though, it's time for our distant replay. From this date, 2005, featuring, you remember Stevie Franchise, Tracy?
I do. 05, this is, he's in Orlando, right? Oh, yeah.
That was a travel.
Yep, he's back, ladies and
travel,
gentlemen.
Travel, Steve. Look at that. Travel, man. Are you kidding me?
Oh, man.
Still like the dunk, though.
It's a make or miss league. Yeah.
Make, miss. Oh. It's a make or miss league.
Make! Hezzy's Magic Kings. Crunch time in Sacramento. Watch the move by De'Aaron Fox.
Oh, both of them went.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, Markel might still be.
Oh man,
synchronized.
y'all gotta talk on that. We switching? We not switching? What are we doing?
We got the win, though.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Our Miss Laziness, Sixers, Pacers. CJ McConnell gets the off-balance bucket.
Yeah, work hard.
Right, then hustles back. Little steal and dish.
Oh, there you go.
Right up to Holiday for the jam.
Oh, and he just gives it all out. There you go.
Right? T.J. McConnell was mic'd.
Play harder than everybody.
For this game, it was amazing. I really encourage everyone to find it online.
He said, he told the ref, don't say anything incriminating. I'm wearing a wire.
On a wire. And then he presumed to say all kinds of things. He was fantastic. Mate, quickness. Pelicans, Pistons. Check out the step back by Lonzo Ball on Christian Wood.
Hey. Oh. Pelicans are coming.
Ooh.
Watch out.
Zoe's had resurgence, right, in the last month. So they think a lot of that's been tied to his health.
They're getting better. I'm just saying right now, I know they're the 14th team in the West. I'm telling you right now, that big boy's on his way, and their second half of the season is going to be a lot better. Yeah.
So fun. All right, Miss Tact. Oh, yes. Back to Cavs Lakers. Boys after the game, they were doing all their hands slapping and things, all that stuff. All right, make vision. Bulls, Celtics, Marcus Smart taking Zach LaVine's cookies.
This is
that.
Right? Then nice. Dimes up Gordon Hayward.
Nice.
How important is Smart to the Celtics? Because he's
in some way
their main trade bait, but I can't think of anything.
No. He's their Draymond Green.
He's a guy that can be 0-for-10, but he still makes winning plays.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And he inspires our producers here at The Jump because it's time to run it back.
Yeah.
Here are the top cross-court bounce passes of all time. Producer Bomber, let's see what you got. Number three.
Oh, man.
Jason Williams, Capasia, 2001. You knew he was going to be involved.
So many tricks up his sleeve. Look at
watch this.
Ah.
Listen.
The bullet.
When he first came in the league, I did not want to switch on him. I'm telling you right now.
Woo, number two, Russ to Oladipo in 2017. A short pairing.
That actually went between his legs, though, huh?
Wait, close up, please.
That went between his legs.
Wow. Yeah. That's nice.
There you go. And then number one.
Of course.
I'm so pleased.
Of course.
It is our greatest living American, Allen Iverson, to rip Hamilton in 2009.
Grant Hill, right through his legs, too.
Look at him.
Right, because Grant Hill, his soccer skills ain't what he thought they are.
Right?
Come on, G. You can't be letting them nug-nug like that.
Nice.
That was a Hall of Famer through a Hall of Fame. Anyway.
Where's Magic?
This year's Pistons, we can do a whole list off camera. This year's Pistons not have had that many highlights like that to be proud of. Last night, Detroit fell to the Pelicans at home, and Andre Drummond was benched for the fourth quarter and overtime. Only played 22 minutes. Pistons coach Dwayne Casey said of Drummond's benching, quote, in a situation like that, we are looking for five or six men who are playing hard and who can finish the game for us. It wasn't a message for Andre as much as it was a message for everyone who wasn't on the floor. The young guys were playing hard and earned the right to be out there. It wasn't a message for Andre. Of course it wasn't a message for Andre, guys.
He just sat down in overtime.
So, you know.
It meant it wasn't just for Andre. Mm-hmm. It was for everybody who wasn't in the game.
We would send a message through Andre to everybody else. We all know, obviously, Andre Drummond on the trading block.
Yes.
The Pistons looking to start their rebuilding process. Yes. Will what happened last night hurt his trade stock at all?
No, I don't think so. I think, first of all, Andre Drummond doesn't have a history of being a really bad locker room guy. So it's not like, oh, here it is again. Yeah. He's acting up. And then as far as what he brings to the table, whether you have criticisms of it or you're just in love with the things he does, it's a known quantity. I don't think anyone out there is like, oh, well, I didn't know Andre Drummond was that kind of player. So I don't think it hurts his trade value whatsoever. This is just Dwayne Casey trying to coach his team real time. And sometimes you have to put the incentives for the guys to know this is the level of standard that we are expecting.
No, it ain't going to hurt. I mean, this guy's averaging 17 and 16. Are you kidding me? Anybody out there would take this guy. I mean, he's just frustrated.
Yeah.
Right? You can see it in his play. You can see it in his energy. He's frustrated. I mean, here we are in another season where they're at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. Blake Griffin is out, their best player, and it's leaving
other... He ripped his whole jersey off here. Look at this.
Other guys have to step up and do more. And it's, you know, it's just a level of frustration that's settling in with him, and he's got to find some way to just, you know, get through this and just continue to play hard. He's not a young buck no more.
No.
And, you know, he's a veteran player. He only been to the playoff twice, and I'm sure he wants to get back to that level, but off to a slow start.
I do expect him to be moved before the deadline. There's other guys who clearly want out. We've been talking a lot about Kevin Love clearly wanting out. I don't know if they're going to find a trade partner considering what the Cavaliers want and where Kevin might be wanted. For Andre Drummond, I think that there's going to be some combination of
yeah, no, I mean, he's got a player option next year, but everyone expects him to opt out and become a free agent. And he doesn't have an injury history like Kevin Love. He doesn't have 3 or 4 more years on his contract like Kevin Love. So it makes him a lot easier movable. It just depends on where Detroit feels like they can get the best return.
Right.
All right, coming up, we got a whole lot more for you, including a game of something, nothing, or everything.
Oh.
The Sixers' road woes continue, and AD's injury concerns have been missing games. We'll discuss if it's something, nothing, or everything. Here's our next NBA Wednesday doubleheader on ESPN and the app. Oh, man, I love having Tracy back. Kyrie Irving and the Nets are in Philly to take on the Sixers at 7 o'clock Eastern. That's going to be fun. And then Houston Rockets, Trailblazers after that.
Oh, Melo gets some get back.
Yeah. Yup.
You got to get at least 30 shots up.
NBA Wednesday. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm just so excited.
That's your name.
Oh, I'm excited to get to Tracy.
I tend to do that.
Tracy McGrady is back. Everyone just guessed it. You know, I'm not even going to get to your name. Tracy McGrady is back with us. I am so, so thrilled. I want to revisit one of our favorite games on The Jump. Everything. First off. The Sixers lost their sixth straight road game last night when they were out without Joel Embiid. I'm going to get my act back together, I promise, by the end of this segment. It's been a trend all season. Sixers are 18-2 at home, 7-14 on the road, though, this season. So, Mac, are the 6 straight road losses something, nothing, or?
Everything.
Oh, this is something. This was my concern about this team, right? If you have a hampered Joel Embiid who's going to miss some time, or we don't know how his health is going to hold up, who's going to take over for this club? Right? Like,
well,
I look around on his roster, who is going to be that guy? Ben Simmons is a great talent, but
Ben Simmons is getting a lot of money. Tobias Harris is getting a max
these
money.
These are not guys that you can go to and say, take me there without Joel Embiid. They're not those type of guys.
Well, that's a problem.
No, it is a problem.
I'm going to disagree with you on this, Tracy. I'm going to say this is everything because guess what? When Embiid was there, they're 7-12, right? They lost the last 2 games on the road without him, but it's not like they were killing people on the road when he was there. This has been a team issue all season long. They are elite at home, and that's going to be great when it comes to the playoffs for home court advantage, unless you don't have home court advantage. If you're going to go on the road and get slapped around, that's that 18-2 or whatever they end up having at the end of the year isn't going to come in handy. And so this is huge for them. They have to address this and figure out a way to get better and make shots, because one of the things they really struggle at is making shots on the road from 3-point range.
Look, we've got less than a month until the trade deadline. I keep hearing from people in Philly, well, this team has just got to figure out how to play together and who they are. I think they have to figure something out that involves a move, no?
And the words of the great Philadelphian Apollo Creed, there is no tomorrow. You can't be like, we'll figure it out.
No.
You see all of these teams gearing up saying, this is our window right now. Mm-hmm. This is our chance. You got to go for it. If Marcus Morris is available, I'm Philly. I'm very aggressive with going after him.
Interesting. All right, I want to get to Anthony Davis after suffering that hard fall last week. Davis has missed 3 straight games. Mm-hmm. Now, they all were Laker wins, Do we think the fact that he is kind of taking it a little slower with this? It just hurts watching that. Every time I see that, it hurts. Do you have any concerns that he is actually, because we weren't sure if he was going to just come right back and instead he's missed three straight. Right. Are you something, nothing, or everything he's been out?
Something. It's funny. He's got, you talk about his injury history. It's not like he's got a bad knee that keeps acting up. He's just one of those guys that he falls wrong.
But Brown Bruce.
Yeah, like just different injuries all the time. So I'm not concerned from that standpoint, but I am concerned. I did talk early in the season about, man, they're playing those guys minutes, and they are playing hard, him and LeBron. And so how can the Lakers figure out a way to not depend on those two guys as much? And the other part of it is, and it's a reminder to me, that LeBron plus AD is excellent. Mm-hmm. LeBron and no AD, still pretty good. AD and no LeBron, that one is kind of ugly. And so, you know, as we're talking about AD, we also have to think about how can we preserve LeBron.
Initially, I thought this was nothing. And I thought it was nothing because I don't think anything structure is wrong with him.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to say it's something. And the reason I'm saying it's something because the first half of their schedule is pretty easy, right? I mean, it's pretty
lighter
for them. It's lighter. The second half is going to be a little bit challenging and tougher for them in terms of the travel and the teams that they're playing. So it's actually good that he's getting this rest right there.
Well, that to me why it's nothing, because I don't think it has as much to do with the injury itself. If this were a playoff series, I'm sure we would have seen him on the court last night. But it is an opportunity to get his legs a little rest, not to try to do a thing. And also, while, look, a bruised butt is not something that is going to lead in and of itself to a worse injury, there are compensation issues, right? When you are trying to go up and down the court, maybe you're putting a little bit more leaning on one side or the other because you're trying to give yourself a little relief, and then maybe you could get a more serious injury. So clearly the Lakers are doing just fine, and getting to see some of those other pieces step up has been good for them as well. All right, last but not least, let's go to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Oh, yeah.
The second-year player dropped 20-20-10 in a win over the Timberwolves last night, became the youngest player ever with a 20-rebound triple-double, and here was his reaction after the game.
Shai, your first career triple-double, but 20 rebounds? What's going on with that?
Honestly, BK challenged me before the game.
20-20-10? That's so tough, bro.
Trying to catch Russ, to be honest.
Oh, my God.
20-20-20 next, you know what I'm saying? if we want to get a lead and come out here with a win.
20-20 is so tough. This is phenomenal.
That is very impressive.
Right?
Yeah. You know, 20 boards.
20 boards as a point guard.
That is very impressive.
And Russell Westbrook is not on that team anymore.
And that's why this is everything to me. I'm not that he's not on the team. I'm shocked that Russ has never did this at a younger age. 20-20-10?
You know, the record he broke, the previous youngest guy, was Shaq.
Right.
So, I mean,
that's how long it's been.
That's how you know, like, you're doing something that's on another level. The other two guys on this list.
That's everything. I mean, my goodness, man.
You know, this is the reason why the Clippers said if there was anything about that Paul George trade, that they
stuck with him.
It wasn't the picks. They give 100 picks for Paul George. But having to give up on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander really hurt them. At the same time, I guess I should say I said something.
Yeah.
At the same time, while I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander probably at first was disappointed about being sent away from the Clippers, you know, it's a team that's going to go compete for a championship.
Right.
This might have been the best thing to happen in his career because now he's getting a PhD in point guard play.
I was going
to
say,
Chris Paul.
The mentorship that Chris Paul has given him, people around the team cannot stop raving about the way he has taken this young man under
Chris
his
Paul needs to have a role or something in his locker room.
Right.
absolutely.
From Shai. Because he is getting A1 teaching from one of the best to ever do it.
He just skipped like three grades.
Yeah.
He's gone straight
on. For real.
Yes, and apparently he's got 20-20-20 in his sights, so we'll be looking out for that. All right, coming up, John Wall has been spotted. Oh, yes, running some 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Pretty healthy to me. What should the Wizards do with the former All-Star? We will discuss that next. First, here's what the Jump recommends for today. Brian Windhorst, Jim Bontemps teaming up on a piece about how Pat Riley and Jimmy Butler have turned the heat back on in Miami. Heat coach Eric Spoelstra saying about Riley, quote, he has proved time and again he can land stars. A little warning shot for the
future. Culture!
Check it out during the break. John Wall has been out all season following surgery to repair a torn Achilles, but yesterday was seen playing in a full court scrimmage. guys, he was still the fastest guy on the court in several of these ups and downs. Granted, he was playing against largely the player development staff, but still, he was getting buckets. What should the Wizards do with Jamal Amin?
All right, so there's a couple ways to answer that question. One is just a general basketball question. What do you do with them? Does he fit in with what they're doing? They've never been this good offensively in terms of the rest of the league, and he hasn't played a second. How do you integrate him? That's not the question you're asking me right
now. I'm asking more. Look, it'll be next month. It'll be a year since the Achilles surgery. Do you bring him back before the end of the season?
No, you don't.
No. That's
and it's not about whether it's rushing him or not rushing him. There's a financial reason not to do this, and that is the insurance pays
money.
Exactly. It pays 80% of his salary.
I think that's kicked in already.
Have they hit 41 games yet?
It will kick in by the time you could bring him back. If it hasn't kicked in already,
over the next 4 years.
If it has not kicked in like as of today, it will kick in very shortly.
$30 million.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
30 of that $38 million is covered by insurance.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
Yes, Tracy. Do not adjust your television sets, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo!
Long term, though.
I'm telling you, you can still try to make a comeback now. Vince Carter's still out there.
Long term, though.
Mm-hmm.
You saw those numbers.
Right.
There's nobody lining up to get the Achilles repaired guy with $120 million. So eventually, when he does come back, they got to play him, and they got to play him a lot, and they've got to figure out a way to keep this great positive vibe. And I know the team isn't great win-loss record-wise, but people are talking about the Wizards in a very positive way for the first time in a long time.
So, and you're right, and if I'm John Wall, I see what's going on. I see that a lot of people are talking good about us and how hard we play and that our offense is looking good now. We're amongst the top, right? Mm-hmm. So me as a player, I have to take a seat back and really look at the whole, pie as a totality. It's like, how can I contribute to this without messing up everybody's flow, all right? I understand what this guy does well, what he does well, where I can't give him the ball. Like, that's how he has to be thinking. He can't think, all right, I'm coming back to let everybody know that I still have it. No.
Right.
No, you got to come back and you got to contribute in a different way.
Well, look, a lot has changed for John Wall with his life off the court. Unfortunately, he had some great personal loss on the court. Obviously, he's been dealing with all of these injuries. So I do expect him to come back when he does, appreciating sort of the opportunities that he has on the basketball court. And I also don't want people to forget how good a basketball player he is. I think the fact that those salary numbers next to his injury history have been sort of the main thing that people have thought about him. John Wall is really good, and the fact that he has been able to keep some of that speed that we saw, I know, again, it's against development staff coaches, but we have seen with one of his teammates down there in Washington, Isaiah Thomas, he has never really gotten his speed back from his surgery
from
and
his
injury,
hip,
and it's completely changed what kind of player he can be because of his height, and there is a concern that after multiple injuries with John Wall, he would lose some of his speed and dexterity. He looks good jumping up and down there.
Well, the one thing I'll say, and I love what Tracy said about how John needs to figure out how he can adjust what he does great to keep this great thing going. But one place I could see that definitely happening is they are the worst defensive team in the NBA.
Oh, yes.
He can absolutely help on that end, pending how healthy he is. And so for me, I would love to see him come in and try to take ownership of that. Hey, guys, we got to get this better.
You got to think. I mean, this guy's speed was off the charts. By far faster than anybody else on the basketball court. So, I mean, he's just coming down to everybody else's speed now. So
now he's just going to be average fast as opposed to
right. I mean, before
fast.
He was like, pew.
Yeah.
And now he's just average.
Now he can just a regular fast.
Yeah. He still looks pretty quick. GM Tommy Shepard telling NBC Sports down there, he said, we're not going to skip steps. We are not in a rush to see John back unless he is 100% healthy. So it sounds like the Wizard GM agrees with our two general managers here at the desk. All right, Zach LaVine had 30
That's
points.
That's right here.
But it was in a loss to the Celtics last night. He's been averaging 30 in the month of January. He's averaging just under 25 a game for the whole season.
Man, I'm telling you, my guy is dying in Chicago, man.
Right. So do you think Zach LaVine deserves to get an all-star nod in Chicago? The game is in Chicago. Zach plays in the Eastern Conference. I just want to throw all of these factors in off his play, even though the team's play not good.
Look, I was on a bad team in Orlando, and, I led the league in scoring, and I still make the all-star. I was pretty popular at the time. But what I would say is I think he deserves to be an all-star this year because of the numbers he's putting up. He's averaging 25 points.
Okay.
This month, he's averaging 30 points. He's hit game winners this year for this team. I mean, it's because of him they have the wins, right, that they do have. I mean, it's in Chicago. Reward this man for his play this year.
I'm not here for all the rewarding people for being in
let's
the right
Let's go around
city.
The Eastern Conference.
Let's do that because I actually have a list, all right?
Okay.
So first of all, let me just say, when you made the All-Star team playing on a bad Orlando team, that was after years of playing playoff teams in Orlando, and you led the league in scoring, and you've been
you
an All-Star multiple times.
Right.
This ain't that. This ain't. You weren't begging to get into the game. You were an all-star.
I tried, bro.
So these are the guys we think are going to be the starters.
Right.
Young and Kemba Walker, right? And then Giannis, Embiid, and probably Jimmy Butler.
Right.
So now you're talking about your backups. Front court, you get three and two backcourts. So Siakam, Tatum, and I got Bam on mine. Mm-hmm. And then now when you talk about the backcourt, are we rewarding winning or are we rewarding a guy putting up stats?
So who you have on the backcourt?
Ben Simmons. Malcolm Brogdon. Mm-hmm. Because everybody thought Indiana was going to struggle and Brogdon put him on his back and has taken steps to show that he is a lead guard in this league. Then you got two wild card spots open. So these are the guys, these are the names. Vucevic, who's been an all-star and got his team in playoff contention. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
Kyle Lowry, who's been an all-star. You got Bradley Beal, who's been an all-star.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got, in terms of first-timers, Sabonis, again, another guy on the team, playing well. And then finally, Spencer Dinwiddie.
I was going to say, well, you've got Spencer Dinwiddie flying out there. And Kyrie Irving's been getting votes. Now, obviously, when it comes to the reserves, it's the coaches that do it. He missed 2 months. He's obviously an all-star-level player, but he missed 2 months of the season. It's sort of hard to know
so
how the coaches
Bradley
are going
to Beal
see
made
that.
The playoffs, I mean, made the all-star game, were they a playoff team?
They were not.
But was that, his first one? That wasn't his first one, though.
But were they a playoff team?
But it wasn't his first. My thing is, if it's going to be your first All-Star game, you either got to be winning or you got to.
That shouldn't matter. That's like a whole nother level of qualifier. I'm fine with the team isn't winning. If you say the team isn't winning, so that I'm not putting them on, that is a totally fair opinion.
I think if you're an incumbent All-Star.
The first All-Star, second All-Star, eighth All-Star.
No. Here's my thing. Incumbent All-Star. So if I've been an All-Star before, like Tracy's example. Mm-hmm. Tracy had been an All-Star multiple times.
Tracy's
not a good example.
Tracy doesn't realize nobody else is him.
Okay. We established Tracy's not a great example. But the idea is, if you've been an All-Star multiple times, coaches are more willing to say, oh, no, but he's an all-star. So, like Beal, oh, he's an all-star, though. If this is your first all-star game, usually your team has to be successful.
Okay, let me ask you this. So, take the team equation out of it.
Okay.
Is he an all-star? If you take the team out, talent-wise, he's displaying every single night, is he an all-star?
Talent-wise, he is, but I can't. Whenever you ask me that question, you're asking me, who am I leaving off? And to me, I look at Brogdon and I look at Dinwiddie and I say, those guys have been playing at a high level too, and it's being impacted in terms of the win-loss column.
Here's what I know. I know that when you look at the, and when you say bottom, we're talking about all-stars. So, like, the bottom of the all-star list is still, like, very good list of players, but the bottom of the Eastern Conference all-star sort of nexus there, the coaches, whatever they decide, there's going to be a lot of controversy.
Sure.
There's no obvious, in the East, there's no obvious, these four guys have to be in that bottom quarter.
But because it's in Chicago is a dumb reason to say he should be an all-star.
Well,
no,
I want him
not
to be.
Dumb.
I want him to be in the dunk contest because it's in Chicago.
No. But I'm just saying, like, because the all-star game is in Chicago, that shouldn't be the reason for him to be all-star.
Representation. I mean, give them something, man.
Up next, we will revisit, because Tracy's back, so we got to check in on his bet. To see if James Harden will average 20 points this year. We'll probably still be talking about this during the break. First, though, time for our second distant replay of the day. It's this date in 1997.
It's Tracy?
Why are you going to egg your mom like that?
Oh, Chris, I was at this game. On Mutombo, right? I was at this game. At the old Omni. They used to have, like, $10 tickets for students.
They might still have $10 tickets in Atlanta.
But no, they're just $10 tickets now.
If you can eat during it, it's not a sport. Our NBA Saturday slate on ABC begins this week. This is going to be so much fun. The Clippers and Pelicans, 3:30 Eastern. Maybe Zion back for that one.
Maybe.
And then in our primetime game, 8:30 Eastern.
Sorry,
Lakers
here, guys.
At the Rockets. The jump is going to be courtside in Houston. Everyone's going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Except Trace McGrady. It's crunch time here on The Jump.
Coaches.
Karl Anthony Towns missed his 14th straight game yesterday because of a knee injury and an illness, according to the Timberwolves. Now, Coach Brian Saunders says Towns is close to returning, but he did say that pretty much a week ago. Tracy, any concern about missing the 14 games?
Yeah, I mean, this is the most he's missed in his career. I pray that cat comes back. I was watching Houston and Minnesota the other night, and it was really, really bad. Cat, for us at ESPN and the viewers that watch you guys play, please come back, brother.
I'm confused about the illness part. Does that mean, like, if he wasn't sick, he could have come back?
Well, I think that he has been out a long time, and then if you get very
like
sick.
He's out because of the knee. It's not the illness. It's not.
One of the players, the Packers-Seahawks game I was watching on Sunday, like one of the players missed a playoff game with an illness. If you're sick, you're sick.
LeBron missed one. They called it cold management.
There you go. Cold management. Luka Doncic facing the Warriors tonight, a team he has posted three straight triple-doubles against. Tracy, do you think Luka will go off for a fourth straight triple-double against the Warriors?
I absolutely do. He's going to get a fourth triple-double. I mean, this guy's incredible. But they got to stop with the best 20-year-old they ever seen. Like, please stop with that. I love Luka. I love watching him.
Right.
But they
got
to cut that.
I got a 20-year-old for his name is Magic Johnson.
They
got
to stop.
Finals
that.
MVP with 20 years old. Pump the brakes.
Luka had such a good run-up, didn't have a great week last week with a couple. They played really good teams. They played the Nuggets and the Lakers. I think going against the Warriors, he might look to get some of his.
Just what the doctor ordered.
Tracy, you have not been in studio for a bit, so our producers thought it was time to check in on, I don't know, the dinner bet you have going this year with Zach Lowe. Roll it.
And this is crazy that I'm thinking this way. I actually think James Harden might average 40 points this year.
Not with Russ, sir.
Listen, I'm trying to tell you.
If he averages 40 points a game, and I realize how dangerous this is for me to say, you can pick any restaurant you want. Any restaurant you want,
wow.
I'll take you out to dinner.
Okay. Don't be surprised.
James Harden currently sitting at 37.7 through the Rockets' first 38 games, so he is close. Mac, do you still like Harden's chances? And I want to, before you answer, tonight they play the Grizzlies, and Russell Westbrook isn't even playing.
James averaging 37 right now.
37.7, that's
up,
close
man.
To 38.
You watched, James. We were at 39. What happened?
He fell off.
No, they started doubling and triple teaming my boy. He couldn't even bring the ball up the half court.
You got him all the way down to 37, huh?
Yeah, he's down
37.7. That's basically 38.
I don't think he's going to be able to get to 40, Rachel. I might have to buy Zach a bit. I was very close. You were nervous. I had you nervous. Myself and James had you nervous. But I don't think he's going to get
Let me just say this right now. They told me, the stats guys told me that when Russ sits, he averages 43 a game.
So there you go.
I have no doubt he would get 40 tonight against the Grizzlies. With Russ out. I mean.
I would not give up. It's not even the midway point of the season.
Don't give
up yet.
I really felt like he was going to average 40.
I think he is.
I think he is,
man. Like, woo! I didn't think so when you said it at the time, but now I'm like, yo, let me get in on
League pass game of the night. This is a good one. Jazz at Nets. The Jazz coming into Brooklyn on a 9-game winning streak, but guess who's there waiting for them? Kyrie Irving playing his second straight. Returning from that shoulder injury at 21 points in 20 minutes on Sunday. So,
10 of 11.
Will Kyrie and the Nets stop the Jazz from winning 10 straight?
I'm going to just say this real quick. I don't even care. I'm just so excited that instead of all the bad news we've had all year long, now we're getting players coming back, good news coming back to the NBA. That's what I'm happy about.
I second it. I don't even care. I'm happy to see Jazz is playing up to their potential.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, these two gentlemen will be back tomorrow. So will I. See you then.
Adios.